NPR's Tom Bowman has covered the U.S. Defense Department for more than a decade, working as a newspaper reporter before joining NPR 5 years ago. On September 11, 2001, Tom rushed to work at the Pentagon after learning of the attacks in New York, only to find that it too had been attacked. The building was in flames. He wasn't able to approach the Pentagon, and he spent several hours watching the scene from a grassy area across the highway. He joins us today from the Pentagon, where he attended today's ceremony. Tom Bowman, tell us what happened at the Pentagon.
Well, Audie, I'm standing now at the memorial itself at the Pentagon. It's a wide plaza with benches, and each bench today has a wreath placed on it in memory of the 184 people who died here that day, some on American Airlines Flight 77 and others inside the building. And we still see family members. Some are sitting on the benches. Some are hugging relatives. Some are having their pictures taken. And some seem to be kind of lost in thought, just kind of walking around this really peaceful area. And the building itself, hung from the roof of the Pentagon, is a huge American flag. It's about maybe 30, 40 feet long. And many will remember, maybe a day after the attack, a large flag was placed on the Pentagon as well. And that flag is now at the Smithsonian.
Tom, in addition to the direct hit to the U.S. Defense Headquarters, the 9/11 attacks had a far-reaching effect on the military. In fact, one of the most significant changes in how the U.S. actually fights war. I know our time is short, but can you tell us a little bit about how things have changed there?
Well, the military has changed in almost every way since 9/11. Tens of thousands of more soldiers and Marines have been recruited. They've come up with drone aircraft, which was almost unheard of 10 years ago, and now is used for surveillance or for dropping bombs on Taliban or Al-Qaeda locations. And also they've come up with different kinds of armored vehicles. This huge vehicle called an MRAP, which protects soldiers and Marines from roadside bombs, which are still the greatest killer in Afghanistan. And another thing, the National Guard and Reserve, which were always kind of held in check in case it was a big war with the Soviet Union, let's say, they were called to fight as well and did many tours in Iraq and Afghanistan. That force probably has more combat experience than at any time since World War II. So the military has changed in many, many ways.
NPR's Tom Gelton is also in the studio with us. Tom, we've talked with Mr. Bowman about how the 9/11 attacks changed the culture of the military, but can you talk about even the changes you've seen since the Bush since the Obama administration?
Well, President Obama came in January of 2009. One of the themes that he emphasized in his campaign was the importance of shifting attention in our war fighting away from Iraq back to Afghanistan. He sort of believed in this idea that Afghanistan was where the real battle against Al-Qaeda needed to be focused, not in Iraq. So he has presided over a real significant drawdown of troops in Iraq and a surge of troops into Afghanistan. There are now more troops serving in Afghanistan than in Iraq. And the interesting thing about this, Adi, is, of course, it's in Afghanistan where the wars began in October of 2001, almost 10 years ago. And this means that we have been now in 10 years of war. The Pentagon refers to these conflicts now as being in an era of persistent war. And I think that is that's the significance of this, I think, for members of the military, that military has now been at war for a decade.
Tom Bowman, I want to follow that up. 10 years after 9/11, we're involved in two wars. How has that stretched the United States military forces?
Well, it's stretched it in remarkable ways. I mean, some people I've talked with when I go to Afghanistan are in their fourth or fifth tour. The death toll, I mean, maybe 5,000 have been killed in both wars and 40,000 wounded. Vice President Joe Biden made note of that today, about the 9/11 generation and how 3,000 were killed at the Pentagon, but 3 million signed up for the military. And he called them one of the greatest generations his country has ever produced.
NPR's Tom Bowman at the Pentagon and NPR's Tom Gelton here with me in the studio. Thank you both.
You're welcome, Adi.
NPR's Julie McCarthy has been reporting from Pakistan since 2009, when NPR opened its first permanent bureau there. After 9/11, Pakistan became a U.S. ally in its war against terrorism, but its relationship with the United States has been complicated by differences of opinion over the Afghan Taliban and the spread of terrorist groups on Pakistani soil. In addition to homegrown groups, Osama bin Laden found safe haven there until U.S. forces found and killed him earlier this year. NPR's Julie McCarthy joins us now from her base in Islamabad. Julie, how has this 10-year-long war on terrorism affected Pakistan?
Well, I think the major repercussion is an ever-destabilized Pakistan. Since 2001, Pakistan's own Islamist militants, who had been created by the state in the 1990s to secretly hit India, swung to the side of al-Qaeda. And al-Qaeda came to dominate Pakistan's ungoverned spaces, the tribal areas along the Afghan border. And the Pakistan state went after some of these groups, and they, in turn, turned their sights on Pakistan. Violent anti-state extremism has claimed the lives of 35,000 people in Pakistan since 2001. That's according to the army. So this battle against terror has blighted the lives of Pakistanis and brought the economy to its knees. It's also created this deep resentment. The Pakistanis say, you know, the most tangible result in the past 10 years is not a safer country for them, but a more vulnerable one.
And with the war in neighboring Afghanistan, what has that meant for Pakistanis? I'm sure that this hasn't helped the politics within the country.
Exactly. They conflate it all with the war on terror. And successive years of war next door have created Afghan refugees and more than a million.
And Julie, we're losing you
just a little bit. But I think the most important development here over the course of 10 years of fighting next door, over the course of 10 years, has been the radicalization of Pakistan itself. And the U.S.-led war in Afghanistan became a tremendous way to recruit jihadist groups with an anti-Western ideology. So the Afghan war, which is a direct result of the U.S.-led war on terror, is something that the Pakistanis say they didn't choose. It's not our war. That's their common refrain. And I'm going to ask here in the middle of this, can you hear me?
Oh, yes, I can hear you.
Okay, great. So, that, you know, there's this deep resentment toward the United States over the Americans also using drone missiles against militant targets in Pakistan's tribal areas. The public opinion is so ramped up against the Americans that the government can't be seen to be allowing them, which, again, gives the radicals the upper hand here. That's the story.
Julie, no discussion is complete without talking about Osama bin Laden. He was found and assassinated in Pakistan. What has this meant for Pakistan and Pakistan-U.S. relations in our final minute here?
Well, the Osama bin Laden venture has become a rallying point for even greater anti-American passions. The Pakistanis didn't debate why he was here, but how he was captured. And I think this whole episode, Audie, really telescopes what's wrong with the relationship. Deep misgivings and distrust on both sides. And that's especially worrisome for the United States as this place becomes more radicalized. And that's not a new phenomenon here. It's been happening. There's a trajectory toward fundamentalism for decades now. And it creates a formidable problem for the West.
NPR's Julie McCarthy joined us from Islamabad. Thanks, Julie.